हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीपादसारि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। चार Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 25, How All the Residents of Varanasi Became Vaishnavas. So then, page 89. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Chaitanya Madhya Lila, 1380. Whoever wants to understand the difficult subject matter of Krishna Katha should accept the disciplic succession. If one is somehow or other able to understand Krishna, his life is successful. Chakva deham punar janma naityam eti sojana. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. A perfect devotee is able to understand Krishna through the disciplic succession, and his entrance into the kingdom of God is thereby certainly opened. When one understands Krishna, there's no difficulty in transferring oneself to the spiritual kingdom. So you can. Means one wants to understand Krishna. That's the natural position, the perfection of human life, because the human life means human beings are cognizant of what's going on around more than just what's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They can actually ask beyond that. Well, the animals and that won't do that. So that specialness is there. So then when one actually inquires beyond, but through the parampara, then one is able to fully appreciate the knowledge of Krishna. Otherwise, because the knowledge is descending, it's Krishna revealing it. You're making the endeavor to try to know Krishna through going through Amnaya or through the Parampara. And so then Krishna being pleased with that, he reveals himself. And to that degree of surrender, that much he's revealing. So it's always very nice reciprocation. Of course, Krishna reveals more than we may endeavor. But the point is we make an endeavor, he reciprocates that endeavor. So Prabhupada says, we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 10 towards us. But we take a step, then he returns that step. We don't take a step, then he also waits. So therefore, it's somehow or another able to understand Krishna. And so then, you know, by we see is that Narottam Das Thakur, the various kinds of prayers that there's a desire for, seeing how one is unfit, these different things, offering prayers, these different aspects are there. We're absorbing ourselves in a service, we're associating with Vaishnavas, we're hearing Bhagavatam, then that understanding then brings us to knowing Krishna. So it's a difficult subject because you can't know with your material intelligence. You can only know through Krishna consciousness, through Krishna. Then only you can understand. But then it becomes very, very nice. And so then when one understands by Krishna's grace, then it's no difficulty in transferring oneself to the spiritual realm. Because one sees the value of you, one sees that, yes, I would like to be there, rather than here's reality and there is something that looks nice or interesting or things like that. But it's like, no, that's reality. And here I'm just engaging myself according to my situation in activities connected with that reality. Then it becomes very, very easy. 225, 272 to 278. With all humility, I submit myself to the lotus feet of all you devotees, taking the dust from your feet as my bodily ornaments. Now, my dear devotees, please hear one thing more from me. Devotional service to Krishna is exactly like a pleasing, jubilant forest of lotus flowers, wherein there is ample honey. I request everyone to taste this honey. If all the mental speculators bring the bees of their mind into this forest of lotus flowers and enjoy ecstatic love of Krishna day and night, the mental speculation will be completely transcendentally satisfied. The devotees who have a relationship with Krishna are like swans and chakravaka birds who play in that forest of lotus flowers. The buds of those lotus flowers are the pastimes of Krishna, and they are edible to the swan-like devotees. Lord Sri Krishna is always engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, the devotees following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can always eat those lotus buds, for they are the pastimes of the Lord. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should go to that lake and, remaining always under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, become swans and chakravaka birds in those celestial waters. Right? So he's recommending that these lotus flowers are there. There's plenty of honey, so the bees who like to go wander from here and there, and that the mental speculators, then they can absorb themselves in tasting this nectar of Krishna and devotional service to Krishna and all these things. Then they'll be very satisfied because they like to analyze and all this. And so they'll be absorbed. And then those who have a relationship with Krishna feel, yes, I'm a servant of Krishna and that, then they're going to be satisfied because then they're absorbed in absorbing themselves in the pastimes. And so then they're always able to appreciate these pastimes, and they're always eat those lotus buds, for they are the pastimes of the Lord. Like the swans, they live there very nicely in that pure water and wonderful environment. So he's saying like swans and chakravaka birds, because they're always in that water. They should go on living service to Lord Sri Krishna and enjoy life perpetually. In this way, all miseries will be diminished, right? Perpetually, because in this life, you're absorbed in Krishna. And the next life, you'll go and will go to Krishna and be absorbed in Krishna. So they're always in joy. In this way, all miseries will be diminished. The devotees will attain great happiness, and there will be jubilant love of God. The devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take the responsibility for distributing nectarine devotional service all over the world. They are like clouds pouring water on the ground that nourishes the fruit of love of Godhead in this world. The devotees eat that fruit to their heart's content, and whatever remnants they leave are eaten by the general populace. Thus they live happily, right? So the devotees are absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, and so they're always tasting this. And then their discussions of this, the pastimes of the Lord, especially in the association of others, then that the general public then can enjoy. Right? They'll always be taking these kind of remnants because it's the absorption in the Lord that makes it so special. So they're always absorbed, and so then everything becomes very, very wonderful. Thus, they live happily. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are full of nectar. And the pastimes of Lord Krishna are like camphor. When one mixes these, they taste very sweet. Right? So it's a very nice preparation. I don't know if you hear of it so much these days, but where they make like a kheer or a sweet rice. And you put a little bit of camphor in it, and it gives a very nice freshness to it. It gives a very nice, so you have that richness and freshness, and it becomes very, very nice. By the mercy of pure devotees who taste them, whoever tastes them can understand the depths of that sweetness. Men become strong and stout by eating sufficient grains, but the devotees who simply eat ordinary grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually become weak and falls down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom, and he begins to laugh, dance, and sing. Right? So we see is that men become stronger, so that they eat sufficient grains, right? So the principle is you eat enough, you're going to prosper. But we see for the devotees, just eating the grains, that's not actually the main thing. It's tasting the nectar of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. That then makes them very, very satisfied. And then they say, then his body and his mind begin to bloom, and he begins to laugh, sing, dance. Srila Prabhupada. All the devotees connected with the Krishna conscious movement must read all the books that have been translated. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure. Right? So one must be absorbed in these things. It's not enough that you're just doing the basic things. Is that you should be interested in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that's why then you have the you know, Prabhupada instituted the hearing Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita in the classes at the temple. He also encourages devotees to read and then also to study the works of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. And in that way, then they will attain an eternal blissful life of transcendental pleasure. And so that's the whole idea is that one's absorbed in Krishna. It means the beginning stage, yes, of course, you're focusing on trying to follow everything nicely, understand the philosophy, trying to avoid that which shouldn't be done and all that. But as time goes and one starts to see Krishna as one's maintainer, protector, then one takes on that mood of only identifying as Krishna's servant and being meek and humble, because one is always, this, as it probably says, become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 1380. So that way, then that taste, then you actually get a taste and you move forward. Otherwise, it will just go on with one's regular activities. And one may, you know, not take Krishna consciousness so seriously. And so he may get distracted. So the idea is that if we're always absorbing ourselves and hearing and chanting, then we're always seeing how the devotees, their mood is, how they're surrendering, how they're appreciating, how they're tasting. You know, we see here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we saw prayers and pastimes and Bhagavatam, see from the songs of the Acharyas. So, so many ways. And then the technical points of Jiva Goswami is giving. And so all these aspects make it that everything naturally progresses forward, because being a devotee and all that, and serving Krishna, that's an inherent quality of the soul. It's the natural position of the soul. So when the soul takes that up very nicely, then Krishna becomes very pleased. And then the understanding of Krishna becomes accessible. And then he becomes absorbed and is able to appreciate the nectar of chanting the holy names. 225, 279 to 283. The reader should relish this wonderful nectar because nothing compares to it. Keeping their faith firmly fixed within their minds, they should be careful not to fall into the pit of false arguments or the whirlpools of unfortunate situations. Right, so to get into, you know, there's always the possibility aspect of popularity of issues, because then issues, you have something to talk about and something like that. And that's just, you're trying to, is it this or is it that? But it's not so much about whether you're establishing something as arguing something. I've known, and you know, seen in the past where you can have the same argument with the same person for years, 10 years, 20 years. And so it's not a matter of finding out actually what's the position. It's more of a matter of just one likes all false arguments. There's a taste, and so one just likes to argue. So one has to be careful of that, or unfortunate situations where, you know, one is not careful about one's association, one does things that are not necessarily recommended, so that puts you into situations that just distract you from Krishna. One falls into such positions, he is finished. In conclusion, I submit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the other devotees and readers, that I accept your lotus feet as the helmet on my head. In this way, all my purposes will be served. Taking the feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Ajiva Goswami on my head, I always desire their mercy. Thus I, Krishnadas, humbly try to describe the nectar of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are mixed with the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya has come to taste the nectar of Krishna's pastimes from the attitude of the devotee, and because it's so wonderful, because he's been asked to come and deliver the living entities of Kali Yuga, because they're not necessarily coming forward as they normally would in other ages, where there's a tendency towards, you know, the human upliftment of consciousness. And so then that's being distributed also. So therefore, the talks about Krishna in connection with Lord Chaitanya is always absorbed in Krishna, and the talks about distributing that nectar of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, then these are naturally going on. For the satisfaction of Sri Madan Gopal and Govindadev, we pray that this book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, may be offered to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Chaitanya Charitamrita pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu constitute a very secret literature. It's the life and soul of all devotees. Those who are not fit to relish this literature, who are envious like hogs and pigs, will certainly not adore it. However, this will not harm my attempt. Right? Just because those who are unqualified, they aren't interested, it doesn't harm Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's attempt. That's the whole point, is that's what we were mentioning before. Why adjust the philosophy and adjust things for those who are unqualified anyway? Because even if you adjust it, it's not that they'll become devotees. It's not that they'll become more pleased. It's just one less thing to argue about. And then they'll go on arguing about something else. And so we'll have less interest because there's nothing to argue about. So his point is that it's the life and soul of the devotees. And those who are unqualified, they don't like it, then they'll go elsewhere. That's all. They have to have some taste. So they get a taste out of making issues out of the works of the acharyas, then they'll do that as long as there are people there to argue and there's a taste. But as soon as that's not there, they'll just go somewhere else. These pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will certainly please all saintly people who have clear hearts. They will certainly enjoy it. We wish that this will enhance their enjoyment more and more. Srila Prabhupada. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, has condemned all his enemies by comparing them to envious hogs and pigs. The Krishna consciousness movement, which is spreading throughout the world, is being appreciated by sincere people, although they have never previously heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's pastimes. Now, even the higher priestly circles are appreciating this movement. They have concluded that this movement is very nice and that they have something to learn from it. I know here, higher priestly circles. He doesn't say higher political circles. Right? Those are considered lower. They may, within society, have position and power, but as far as consciousness goes, then they're considered in a lower position. Right? Common person may be honest, may not. But a political person is generally, it's just taken for granted they're not honest. So, you know, the position is not good. They have concluded that this movement is very nice and they have something to learn from it. Nonetheless, in India, there are some people who say that they belong to this cult, but who are actually very envious of the acharya. They have tried to suppress our activities in many ways. But as far as we are concerned, we follow in the footsteps of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and take them as envious pigs and hogs. They say they're followers, but they're supporters. But if they don't, they're trying to suppress the acharya, suppress his programs, suppress his works, see that what he's recommended is not happening, just even avoid it, just say it's not even Prabhupada. It's just Indian stuff, you know, and we're not this body, we're not sectarian, so we're not Indian. But at the same time saying, oh, but we're Westerners, so therefore we can't do these things. These are all things that are just, as he says, it's not important. We simply wish to present the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the best of our ability so that those who are really honest can cleanse their hearts. We hope that they enjoy this literature and bestow their blessings upon us. It appears that even such a great personality as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami met with some envious obstacles. What then? What then to speak of us, who are only insignificant creatures in this universe? We are simply trying to execute the orders of our spiritual master to the best of our ability. And so that's what we try to do, is to the best of our ability, we try to follow the orders. So if you say, no, the people won't accept this, the point is they're materialists. They don't accept anything but accept what's good for their senses. And so, therefore, we don't have to adjust for that. We present, and those who are, you know, if they're too contaminated, they won't be attracted. And those who are attracted, then those will go with. Because otherwise you can say, but they can create trouble. But what we have to remember is that if it comes to Lord Chaitanya and his movement, Lord Chaitanya is always successful. We use our intelligence, of course. So that's why then when someone brings up a point that they may or may not appreciate, then we should have the knowledge, have the skill, have the focus, have the faith and that commitment that we can explain it so that they will be satisfied. Then having heard them, whether they want to take up Krishna consciousness, that's up to them, but at least then they won't create trouble. So this idea is, no, we don't do anything. We just adjust Prabhupada and everything about him so that the karmis won't give us trouble, but they give everybody trouble. You know, you can say, but look at the Christians. There's 2 billion of them. So they're so popular. So like that, you know, so everybody's at you. How much trouble does the church get? Right? They get constant trouble. The Islams get constant trouble. The Hindus get trouble like that. You know, any branch of Christianity gets trouble. You know, so, I mean, everybody gets trouble. So this idea is that, no, we'll adjust everything so there's no trouble. Then the point is, if the point is no trouble, okay, nice. You know, there is that element of mode of goodness. We don't want trouble. But where's the point of goodness where we perform our duties to support the achari? That's even a better position. Otherwise, you're just worried that I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to go out into public and have people criticize, you know what I'm doing because I feel bad. Why not take it as an opportunity to preach? Someone makes something, you know, you're sitting down, so then talk. You know, that's just something else to do. And so then in that way, then you execute the orders of the spiritual master. But this idea is, no, we have to change things, adjust things. No, you don't, because it's not for those people that you're changing it for. They're not going to become devotees. So it's not written for them. That's like saying, okay, we have a book on mechanics, but then, you know, the artists aren't going to appreciate it. So we have to change the language and the presentation and the points being made and all this stuff that's too mechanical. We have to take that out and you know, do whatever you want. You don't have to say, no, you have to do this. It's not meant for them. It's meant for those who appreciate mechanics. So that's the whole point, is there's billions of people. Those who are, as it says, those who are sincere, they'll come forward. And they're the ones we're looking for. And then as it goes, there's more and more people, it builds up. And then, you know, and if we take it, we'll try to present it and convince others nicely. So then all these things will be dealt with. And with time, then they are quiet. Otherwise, we've seen, you know, in the past, people have come up, there's been articles and media and this and talk shows and that, and then devotees have dealt with it and dealing with it, then they've become very, they've adjusted. They've either started to appreciate or at least now they have a respect and they will not bother us anymore. We won't be one of their things to, you know, create some spectacular headlines. Conclusion. It is our duty to follow the path of the Mahajanas, the authorities, text 56. By studying the 6 philosophical theories, one can reach the absolute truth. It is therefore our duty to follow the path of the Mahajanas, the authorities. Whatever they say should be accepted as the supreme truth. Dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate, right? You approach the Vedic literatures, studying them on your own without the Mahajanas, then you're going to come up with so many varieties of understandings because the knowledge is vast, and the individuals who are approaching that, their natures in that are vast, and the tendency to speculate in that is also vast. And so therefore, taking this vastness as something important one is missing the point. So the progressive path that the Mahajans take, because there the conclusion is there. Descending means it's a conclusion. The inductive is that there is no conclusion. It's unlimited in how much variety you can have. But it's said that the nectar of the place of Krishna's pastimes, and that where the devotees and all that then spend their time, that wonderful lake of Krishna consciousness, filled with so many wonderful lotuses, then these mental speculators can actually, by absorbing themselves in the pastimes of the Lord, and hearing and chanting about the name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord, having heard it from the Parampara, then they can be completely satisfied in their search for intellectual understandings. When a person mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. Right? It's not that he's going to get a boo-boo on his finger or something like that. No, it means lifespan, his opulence, his reputation, his religion, means how nicely he can follow things, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. Everything goes, because all those come, those are all opulences coming from the Lord. And therefore, when you disturb the devotees, then the Lord removes these opulences. Even if you've done good work to gain them, and then by sinful activities, you can lose them. This is the worst activity. This very automatically, everything goes down. Unless human society accepts the dust of the lotus feet of great Mahatmas, devotees who have nothing to do with material possessions, mankind cannot turn its attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all the unwanted, miserable conditions of material life. Text 84 to 85. It is our duty to follow the path of the Mahajans, the authorities. Text 56. Because these great personalities, they are, have nothing to do with material possessions. They're absorbed in Krishna Katha, and they're tasting that nectar, they're distributing that to us. And so we take that. And like it said, Krishna Skavyas Goswami said, and Srila Prabhupada said, we are, then what to speak of us, only insignificant creatures in this universe. We are simply trying to execute the orders of our spiritual master to the best of our ability. So we're doing that. And we're following, therefore, in the footsteps of the Mahajans. So therefore, the Acharyas, then, they are those great souls we follow, and we simply do our best to do whatever little we can in Krishna consciousness, then everything becomes perfect. Yes? No? Very good. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada.